And before we consider the Lord's word to our hearts tonight, we'll look to the Lord and seek his help in prayer. O Lord our God and loving Father, we come again to thy holy word. We thank thee, Lord, that we have thy word. We thank thee, Lord, we have this liberty and freedom and opportunity to meet in the house of the Lord on the Sabbath evening. And, O Lord, we would say with the Emmaus disciples, the day is far spent. It is toward evening. Lord, abide with us. May we know the abiding presence of our dear Savior tonight. For we know that it is the Lord's presence that makes the feast. And, O Lord, may we sit, as it were, at thy table, at the King's table. And, Lord, come thou and feed us thyself. Once again, Lord, I pray for thy blessing upon the church here in Malvern, thanking thee for every remembrance of it. And, O Lord, we ask thee to bless the congregation abundantly. Bless thy servant, Dr. Allison. And, O Lord, I pray that thou would undertake for thy servant as he ministers here week by week. Now, Lord, come and draw nigh to us. Lord, open the word to our hearts tonight and open our hearts to thy word. Grant us now, Lord, the power of the Spirit of God. Grant this evening that we will see Jesus. For we ask all these things in his name and for his eternal glory. Amen. Our text for this evening would be the opening verse of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. When Naomi decided to return home to Bethlehem, Judah, from the country of Moab, her two daughters-in-law both had a decision to make. Would they return with her? Or would they return to the country of Moab? The country of Moab was a country of idol worship. It's a country of false gods. Naomi had been there with Elimelech, her husband, for over 10 years. Naomi is a type of the backslider. She left Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Judah means praise. So when you look at Elimelech and Naomi, leaving the house of bread, leaving the place of praise, and going down into the country of Moab, to the country of false gods and idols, say to yourself, that doesn't make sense. But then nothing makes sense to the backslider. Why would a backslider leave the side of the one who's the bread of life? Why would someone leave the side of the Lord Jesus, who's the manna from heaven, and go away into the world, into the country of Moab, where there's nothing for their soul. Naomi had gone into the country of Moab with her husband. It did not prove to be a very fruitful journey. She didn't gain anything by going into the country of Moab. In fact, she lost everything. Her husband died there. Her two sons died there. Whenever she returned to Bethlehem, she told those who she spoke to that she had gone out full. She had left Bethlehem, Judah, 10 years before. She had gone out full. And she returned home empty. That's what happens. That's the testimony of a backslider. You leave the side of the Lord, who meets and supplies your every need, fills your soul, fills your heart, and you go into the country of Moab, like the prodigal, who left his father's house, took everything that belonged to him and was due to him, went into the far country. Couldn't get far enough away from home. Spent all that he had in riotous living. And before long, the best he could do was to eat the husks that were fed to the swine. And then the day came when he came to himself and he thought about his father's house. And he said the servants in his father's house had more than he had. He was empty. He had nothing left. He had gone into his country of Moab. That's what happened to Naomi. And so her two daughters-in-law had a choice to make. Orpah and Ruth. What were they going to do? Well, the both of them started out on the way to leave the country of Moab, to go with their mother-in-law to Bethlehem, Judah. And then they came to, as it were, a crossroads. Orpah had second thoughts. Naomi, strangely enough, exhorted both her daughters-in-law to return. Orpah decided she was going to return. And Orpah returned to her country, to her people, and to her gods. Whenever Orpah returned, we never read about her again. She's never mentioned again in Scripture. She went away out into oblivion. On the other hand, Ruth, she made her decision before God and decided she was going with her mother-in-law. And Ruth came to Bethlehem, Judah, with Naomi, her mother-in-law. Whenever she returned, when she came to Bethlehem, Judah, with Naomi, by and by she met a man called Boaz. This man in Ruth 4 and verse 13, we are told, took Ruth and she became his wife. Ruth then was married to Boaz. In Boaz, we see a wonderful picture of Christ. In fact, he is named in the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Matthew 1, verse 5. And so the choice Ruth made to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, Judah, was a wise choice, for there she met Boaz. And any man or woman who chooses the way, who chooses the road that leads to Christ, has made a wise decision. Orpah chose the other way and went back to her gods and to her idols and to her people. So here we have the man in verse 1 of chapter 2 that eventually became the husband of Ruth. Jesus Christ is our husband. We're his wife. We're part of the church. Christ is the head of the church. And we're married unto the Savior. And so as we look at this first verse of chapter 2 of Ruth, we notice first of all the man. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So we're introduced to the man in this first verse of chapter 2. First thing that we notice about the man, this man was special. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. He was a special man in that district of Bethlehem, Judah. A mighty man of wealth. And everything that is said about Boaz in this first verse tells us that there was something very special about him. Sure, when we talk about the man Christ Jesus, we're talking about someone who is special. There's no one like Christ. He's special, is he not? He's special to us. We can say there's no friend like Jesus Christ. We are told, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. The word kinsman is found 14 times in the book of Ruth. 14 times. 13 of those references, the word may be translated to redeem or to set free, reminding us of the Lord Jesus. He's our Redeemer. We often refer to him as our kinsman Redeemer. Praise his name, he has set us free. And him whom the Lord sets free, it's free indeed, he has redeemed us. 13 times the word means redeemed. Once, and only once out of the 14 references, the word is translated friend. And here in Ruth 2 and verse 1, the word kinsman is translated friend. Naomi had a friend of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Jesus Christ is our friend. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Whenever you look at this man Boaz as a kinsman or as a friend, we notice first of all that he is or was a familiar friend. For the word kinsman has that meaning. Not only does it mean friend, it means familiar friend. Someone whom Naomi knew very well. She was very familiar with this friend of hers called Boaz. And isn't that what makes the Lord Jesus so special to you and me, believer? He's a friend. He's our familiar friend. You remember what the old Pharisees said when they criticized him to his disciples? They said, why? He's a friend of publicans and sinners. The poor fools that they were, they didn't know they were telling the truth. He is a friend of publicans and sinners, and we thank God he's a friend of publicans and sinners. For if Christ was not the friend of publicans and sinners, we would never have come to know him. We would still be strangers. But because the Lord Jesus came into the world to befriend sinners, he befriended us. He's our friend. The bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, after she described her friend, after she described Christ to the daughters of Jerusalem, when she had exhausted her vocabulary in the description of Christ, she then said to the daughters of Jerusalem, this is my beloved, and this is my friend. Is not the Lord Jesus our best friend? Is there anyone in this service tonight who cannot say the Lord Jesus is my friend? Because if you don't know him as your Savior, he's not your friend. No, siree, he's not your friend. He's still a stranger. It is only when you come to know him by faith that you can say the Lord Jesus is my friend. Now, while Christ is our Savior and friend, the question is, how familiar are we with him? The word means familiar friend. But how familiar is Christ to us? Tell me, how well do we know him? My wife and I have been married 48 years. I'm familiar with the things that my wife likes and doesn't like. She's familiar with the things that I like and don't like. We've got to know one another pretty well over 48 years. We know one another very well. Like any husband and wife. But how well do we know the Lord? How familiar are we with Christ? How familiar are we with his ways? How familiar are we with his words? How familiar are we with what he likes? What he doesn't like? Is he a familiar friend? Turn to John 14. In John chapter 14, a very well-known portion of Scripture that many of us learn from our Sabbath school days. But there in John 14, in verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me and has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Philip had been with the Lord for 2 or 3 years. And the Lord said to him, Have I been so long with you, and hast thou not known me, Philip? You don't know me, Philip. Yes, you put your trust in me, you put your faith in me, but you don't know me intimately. You don't have a deep knowledge of me. And notice what he said. He said, Have I been so long time with you? How long have we been with Christ? How long has it been since that day we accepted him and received him as our Savior? 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20? How familiar then are we with the Lord? So Boaz was a familiar friend. Something else you will notice, Boaz was a family friend. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. In other words, Naomi came to know Boaz through marriage. And because Naomi had married Elimelech, she came to know Boaz through marriage. And isn't that the relationship every Christian has with the Savior? We're married unto him. The Lord Jesus, or rather Paul in Ephesians 5, in verse 23, in Ephesians 5, verse 23, the Lord says, For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 32, This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, Paul there speaks about the marriage union, husband and wife. And Paul is saying the Lord Jesus is our husband and we're his wife. We're married unto him. That's how we came to know him. We were married unto him. So he's not only a familiar friend, Christ is a family friend. We're part of his family. Glory to God, we're part of the royal family. That's what Spurgeon said one day. He and another man were walking down a street in London. And Spurgeon said to his friend walking with him, he says, you know, if people knew who we were, they would tip their hat to us. And the man says, well, what do you mean? He says, we're members of the royal family. And if they only knew we were members of the royal family, they would tip their hat to us as they passed by. And believer, we're members of the Lord's family and the royal family. Christ is King. And glory to God, we're members of his family. We're married to him. He's a familiar friend. He's a family friend. As we read in Jeremiah 3 verse 14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. So we who are married to Christ in redemption can say that Christ is our familiar friend. We can say that Christ is our family friend. There's something else about Boaz. Naomi had a kinsman. Naomi had a familiar friend of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. He was a familiar friend, he was a family friend, and he was a faithful friend. Remember, these words are said about Boaz after Naomi had been away from Bethlehem, Judah, for over 10 years. She's been away from Boaz in the country of Moab for over 10 years. And yet she's still able to call him a familiar friend. She's still able to refer to him as kinsman, a familiar friend. So we could say that Boaz was a friend at a distance. Naomi had been away from Boaz, as was said, for 10 years. We already said in her introduction that Naomi's a type of the backslider. Backsliders get away from the Lord and they get away into country of Moab. But here we find that Naomi still referred to Boaz as a friend. You see, believer, no matter how far we may stray from the Lord, he's still a friend. He still remains our friend. He doesn't disown us. He doesn't turn his back upon us. Oh, by our backsliding ways, we offend him. We grieve him. But he never says to us, I'm no longer your friend. He's always our friend. Even when we are at a distance from him. Isn't that wonderful? That we have such a person as Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our friend. And while our friendship towards Christ may grow cold and we stray from him, still he'll be our friend. Solomon said in Proverbs 17 and verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Mark that. A friend loveth at all times. When things are going well, still our friend. When things are not going so well, he's still our friend. As I said, when we grieve him and offend him and desert him and leave him and follow him afar off, he's still the friend that loveth at all times. His friendship with us does not change. Does that not make him a faithful friend? If there's a person in the meeting tonight without Christ, you don't know him, you'll not find a friend like this anywhere in this world. Nowhere will you find a friend like Christ. He's that faithful friend. He's a friend at a distance. He's a friend in death. Naomi was able to refer to Boaz as a familiar friend after she had suffered the loss of her husband and the loss of her two sons. Of course, that's when we really appreciate the friendship of someone. When in the sorrows of death, they prove their friendship. And no one proves their friendship with us more in times of sorrow, in times of suffering, in times of separation, when we're separated from loved ones through death. No one becomes more of a friend, is more of a friend to us than the Lord Jesus. Again, we refer to the words of Solomon, Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know who that friend is? It's Jesus Christ. He's our Boaz. He's our friend in death. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Closer, closer. Remember what James said? Christ is our high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That word touched there means to enter into. You touch someone, you're standing at a distance from them. But the Lord Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Mark that, with the feelings. He knows how we feel. We've all been praying much for Mrs. Lee down in Greenville. Our hearts go out to her because of the passing of her dear husband, David. Our hearts go out to her. We send our condolences. She had many friends with her yesterday at that funeral, and no doubt many embraced her. Many wept with her. Many expressed their sorrow. But nobody, nobody was able to enter into her feelings. Nobody felt what she felt, except Christ. Because the Lord Jesus is touched. He enters into the feelings of our infirmities. How often have you said, whenever you've been at a low point in your life, and you've said to yourself, nobody knows how I feel. Nobody understands how I feel. And maybe you've also said, nobody really cares how I feel. Well, Jesus cares. And Jesus knows exactly how you feel. He's touched with the feelings. He's touched how you feel. Christ touches Christ. In other words, your burdens are His burdens. Your sorrow is His sorrow. Your tears are His tears. That's the kind of friend He is. That's the friend who sticketh closer than a brother. You'll never find a friend like that. The man was not only special. Boaz was also a man of substance. This familiar friend of Naomi's, we are told, was a mighty man of wealth. So he's a man of substance. The word mighty, that word mighty, is the Hebrew word gibbor. Gibbor, and it is translated in a variety of ways in the Old Testament. And however it is translated, it always speaks of prominence. Someone who is prominent. That's the word that is used here to describe Boaz. Speaks of his prominence. It is rendered here mighty. It's the same word which is used to describe Christ. In Isaiah 9 and verse 6, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. It's the same word. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And again in Psalm 24 and verse 8, the psalmist speaking about Christ, David wrote, Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Speaks of the prominence of Christ. Our Boaz, our kinsman redeemer. The word is also rendered champion. The word mighty is rendered in one other place, champion. Would you turn just over to the next book and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And there we find the same word, only it is translated champion. In 1 Samuel 17, in verse 51, here's the battle, well, not really the battle, but simply the slaying of Goliath by David. Verse 51, Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion, same word, their champion was dead, they fled. But wait a minute. Christ is our mighty God. Christ is our champion. But where the Philistines' champion, where the champion of the Philistines was slain and was defeated, and his followers fled, our champion will never be defeated. Our champion has never known defeat. Glory to God, believer, we're on the victory side. He's our champion. We'll never have to run and flee from him because he's been defeated. Because he's never known defeat, praise his name, we can run to him instead. He's our champion. Just as David overcame the champion of the Philistines, our champion is the great overcomer. He has overcome all of his and our enemies. The word is also rendered valiant. Song of Solomon 3 and verses 6 to 8. The word mighty there is translated valiant. And the reference there is to 70 valiant men. Christ is greater than 70 valiant men. Christ is courageous. Christ is confident of victory. Going forth, conquering and to conquer. Aren't you glad you have Christ as your friend? Aren't you glad you've got Christ as your mighty man? Aren't you glad you've got Christ as your champion? Aren't you glad you have someone who is valiant, who goes from victory to victory? Romans 8, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're on the winning side. Oh, I know it doesn't look like that sometimes. But we are. We have Christ as our champion. We have Christ as our head. We have Christ as our husband. We have Christ as our captain of our salvation. And he has never known defeat. But we see here that Boaz was not only a man of prominence, he was a man of prosperity. A mighty man of wealth. So he was a man of substance. A man who was rich. He was the Lord of the harvest. Christ is the Lord of the harvest. Christ owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And he owns the hills and he owns all the cattle and he owns all the gold in the hills. He's a mighty man of wealth. He's our Savior. And we can look upon him and say, that mighty man of wealth, I know him. We can say, that mighty man of wealth, I'm related to him. We can say that mighty man of wealth, why? He's my familiar friend. If you were related to the Queen of England, you'd be telling everybody. See, that woman lives over in Buckingham Palace. I'm related to her. Well, here we are related to one who's greater than the Queen of England. We're related to the King of Kings. That tops the lot. And we're related to him. And we're related to this mighty man of wealth. Can we not see that the Lord Jesus Christ is a mighty man of wealth? Apart from him, owning the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He's wealthy in another way. He's rich in another way. He's rich in grace. He's rich in love. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in kindness. He's rich in long suffering. Paul said of Christ, The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There's one thing we should remember. Again, quoting the words of Paul, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. We are rich today. Christ is rich. That's why Paul was able to say in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, now are ye full, now are ye rich. Oh, we may not have much of this world's goods, but we're rich. We're richer than millionaires. We have possessions that money cannot buy. Silver and gold could not buy salvation. We have salvation. Money couldn't buy salvation. All the silver, all the gold in the world could not buy what we have. We have a mansion. A mansion in glory. A mansion, imagine. The Lord went home to prepare a mansion. It's going to be some mansion because he's still preparing it. One day we'll take possession. He was a man who was special. He was a man of substance. He's also a man of strength, this Boaz. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You see, the word Boaz and the name Boaz, that's what it means, strength. Jesus Christ is a man of strength. Can't stand it. I can't stand it the way people today portray the Lord Jesus. They portray him as some effeminate individual who's weak. He's nothing of the kind. We're told he's a man of war. That's what Christ is. He's a man of war. He's a man of strength. There's nothing effeminate about Christ. He's a man. He's a strong man. He's a champion. He's valiant. He's mighty. And there's nobody can stand against him and claim the victory. And do you know something again? He's our friend. He's our familiar friend. And when we are weak and feel that we cannot go on at times, the Lord will give us strength to do so. Our strength comes from the Lord. Psalm 29. There in verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Lord Jesus is strong, and as Paul said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Where did Paul get the strength from? He got it from Christ. He's our Boaz. He's our champion. He's our mighty God. He's our captain. And he's our friend. Do you know him tonight? Can you say this man of whom you speak this evening, preacher? I know him as my friend. If you don't, it's time you did. Once again, you think of our dear brother Lee. In that long battle with cancer, he's able to testify about Christ, his friend. See, he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is a friend who loveth at all times. Sickness, he loves us. Sorrow, he loves us. If you don't know him, I trust you'll come to know him tonight. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. O Lord our God and loving Father, we thank thee for Christ our Boaz, our man of strength, our man of substance, and our dear man who is special. There's none like him. We know he is the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. He's the lily of the valleys. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and the morning star of all the stars in the heavens. Christ outshines them all. He's our son of righteousness. He's our kinsman redeemer. He's our familiar friend. He's our faithful friend. He's our best friend. Lord, write thy precious and holy word upon our hearts. May we go home tonight rejoicing in Christ, our friend. Once more, Lord, I pray for the blessing of the triune God to be poured out upon the congregation here. Thank thee for all our friends here. Thank thee, Lord, for thy servant, Dr. Allison. Bless the elders and all the office bearers, the Sabbath school teachers, and all who labor for thee. Now, Lord, be with us as we part the one from the other. Keep us near the cross. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.